Yesterday, a wizard entered New York with a case full of spoilers. And unfortunately, some have escaped.
Spoilers, maximum.
This is Tina Goldstein. As an officer of the Magical Congress of the United States of America, I must warn you that all information regarding the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them case is now declassified. Proceed with caution.
Welcome to episode 26 of Speak Beastie for December 18th, 2016. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Elena.
And I'm Aaron.
Who?
What?
I know. When? The dogs have been let out.
He doesn't even go here.
And I am either a dog or responsible for that. I didn't think this through. I'm sorry. I didn't think this joke through.
Do it again. Try again. Igor. give him one more shot.
Don't throw away your shot, Aaron.
I'm not
throwing away my shot. This is perfect. See, we already brought it back to Hamilton. That happened in like the first 10 minutes of our very first episode as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why you're here.
Hamilton,
yes.
Says it's our birthday. Oh.
I'm just going to see myself out.
Birthday.
Yay.
We're still a baby.
We get a smash cake.
What?
You know.
What is that?
You know.
Like a cake when you smash your face into a cake because you're a baby.
Because you
don't
one.
Know how to food yet.
That's messy. I don't think I ever did that as a baby.
Okay, Shannon. You were the exception.
I was a very efficient baby. I was like, no, none of this messy business. Please, may I have a utensil?
Yes. God.
I can actually kind of picture that. I have no idea what you were like as a baby, but like I can so see it.
Yep.
Everybody's trying to make, you know, oh, look, he's got spaghetti on his head. And I'm like, can I have a napkin, please?
I feel like she may have also had a British accent, but I don't know.
People thought I was British when I was a child. Like, that legit strangers are asking me if I'm British. Like, I've dropped it now in college, but...
In college?
Yeah, in the past, like, 4 or 5 years.
Only just... I need to hear some audio of you before, because I don't believe it.
I will find some.
Back when you were on that British baby podcast.
Yeah. Where we talked about how stupid smash cakes are.
Yeah. Aaron, why don't you tell us who you are? Because we have some new listeners who may not know.
Hi, new listeners and veterans as well. I'm Aaron, and I was in the original cast of this podcast. The cast of podcast.
We're all podcast actors. None of this is real.
We're all. This is. We have quite a script that we're going off of, and I need to stop going off this script. I was on the podcast for a long time, usually handling the Newt case, and unfortunately, I had to. Leave because my business was taking a lot of my time and I didn't have time for the podcast. My business of wand making. So, yeah.
Like, that's literally the coolest job that anyone could ever leave something for in history.
It's
like, sorry guys, I have to go make wands.
It's pretty fun. I was actually making wands immediately before this podcast. So, it's crazy. I'm as shocked as anyone that it's actually become a career that is demanding as much of my time because it's paying all of my bills and stuff, which is great. So, but yeah.
That's awesome.
And so far, I think as of today, I've made 372 individual wands.
So, wow.
That's amazing. Ayo.
But yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of just, we wanted to have Aaron back as a guest to celebrate the fact that this episode marks 1 year since Speak Beastie started.
Oh, man.
It's our birthday, guys!
Happy birthday! Okay, I'm done.
Thought we were going to do it.
No, keep going. No, I was into it.
No, because then I realized for the cha-cha-cha. That, the lag of Skype might make it weird.
Yeah, it'll just be all over the place. Oh, that was synchronized.
Ooh, we're still in sync.
But if any listeners want to send audio clips of them singing Happy Birthday to Speak Beastie,
yeah,
that would be great. Much
or if you
want to
send us a cake, I will eat it.
If you tweet us Happy Birthday, or if you post a video of us singing Happy Birthday, I can assure you that will get shared to our social media, because you guys... I mean, when we think about the fact that, you know, we've been doing this for a year, you know, we've come a long way, and that's because people like you guys are listening and enjoying what we're doing and being there for us. So engage with us, celebrate with us, because we would not still be doing this if we did not have people who cared.
Contest idea. Who can make the best Speak Beastie-inspired cake? Race, I go.
Ooh.
And then if you send it to Shannon, she will smash her face in it.
Like she did when she was a British baby.
As established, I did not do that.
But yeah, if anybody makes a Speak Beastie cake, you may win the universe. I don't know what we'll do, but we'll do something cool for you.
So. You know what? If you make a Speak Beastie cake, you can then eat the cake. So
that's
win-win.
A pretty great prize.
Yeah, send a video of the cake, and then just like the whole video of you eating the whole cake. Just
no,
like a 45
no.
minute video of
making
just you eating
eye
a
contact
cake by
with the camera.
We don't,
the
we don't
whole
want,
time.
We don't want like a Matilda moment. That's not fair. That's not right.
That's
I mean,
a
but
brilliant
I'm,
reference.
I'm not
I love
saying
it.
If people make a Speak Beastie cake and smash their face in it and put it on social media, I'm not saying they'll get something special from us, but you might get something special from us.
Let's not advocate cake smashing for the sake of cake smashing. Like, eat some of the cake. You can smash a little, but like, don't work
eat
so hard. Yeah, don't put all that hard work into smashing for.
I was
whatever.
Gonna say enjoy the fruits of your labors, but it's not fruit; it's cake.
What if it's
so
a fruit
enjoy
cake?
Enjoy the cakes of your labors, children.
So, Aaron and Elena, tell us your thoughts about the Fantastic Beasts movie. That little thing.
What movie?
The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them movie.
Is that out already?
Is it? Oh
wow.
Yeah, for a couple weeks.
Well, I mean, you guys got some of my reactions from the episode I did where I couldn't talk about anything. Which
yeah.
was a fun adventure to fangirl without actually fangirling. But my summary, I typed a very coherent, very academic thought in our document about how I felt about it. And the academic thought was, Ermagerd, I can't even, why is this movie so good?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All one word.
Just like all the scientists yes. say.
I concur.
Indeed. yeah, I thought it was spectacular, fantastic, because I am still making those jokes and will until the day that I
cease
from this world. But yeah, I thought it was spectacular. Favorite things that I can probably now say, I talked a bit about in that episode about how I really, really loved the whole thing in the case. That was just probably the most magical thing I've experienced since I was like reading the books. 'Cause it just brought me back to this very cool place where I was like, oh wow, this is all real again. But in terms of things I didn't like, I'm not a Johnny Depp fan. Mm. I used to be, but he's just not, I don't know. I'm not as big a fan of him as I once was, which was a tremendous fan at one point in my life. But
yeah.
I don't know that he was the right pick for Grindelwald. So, yeah, that's my feelings in summary.
Okay, Aaron, what are your thoughts on the movie?
I thought it was neat.
Cool.
Yay.
Awesome.
I really liked it. I really, really liked it. And I, It's what I wanted. I wanted an adventure. I wanted lots of beasts. I wanted to see how crazy that, you know, Pokeball case was, and it totally lived up to my expectations. And then there was this creepy blonde poo at the end. But other than that, like,
I think that's the best and most visceral description I've heard of him yet.
I just like Johnny Depp. Like, it's not that he's bad, but I feel like they wanted like a Johnny Depp character, and they're like, oh, we'll have Johnny Depp play the character. Then it's like, no, just have someone else play a Johnny Depp like character. So that then the audiences look at it and go, oh, look, it's Johnny Depp. It was too much. And it felt like it didn't fit. It's like, why is this tomato on my peanut butter and jelly?
Oh, my God.
Get it. Just fix it. Like, I mean, I'm going to eat it, I guess. Like, it's here.
Why are these peanuts on the floor?
These peanuts on the floor. I ordered tacos.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it just, like, he's one of those actors where, like, you know, he used to do a lot of really amazing roles, but it's kind of like everything he's done in the recent past is just quirky, weird, and they're kind of like, they're all very different roles, but he plays them all the same, which is, and I forget who it was that said this on one of the previous episodes, but it's almost kind of like, he used to be known for, like, acting with a really wide range, and now it's like he's playing a wide range, but all as himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, when I went to go see it for the fifth time, because, you know, my life, there was this girl behind me, and literally she just goes, sketch Johnny Depp! And I was like, oh my God, yes it is.
It takes you out of the movie. Like, it really detracts away from what probably could have been a better moment had it been a better actor. Like,
had it been someone we don't recognize.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, because what they did is they messed you up, because people, you got to think about the fact that there's people watching this who A, have not been discussing the film at length for a year.
Yeah.
And B, even if they haven't been doing that, they've never seen this world or even been exposed to Harry Potter. So, like, my one friend that I went to see it with was kind of confused about, like, They're just like, so who was Johnny Depp? Like, if that had been another actor, I feel like they could have just been like, oh, so that Grindelwald guy. But, like, just the fact alone that it was Johnny Depp made them see him and not see the character, when this is, like, probably going to be one of the most important characters in this entire franchise now. So it just, I think it was a poor choice on the casting department's side.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to do a bad job. I just know that they could have gotten anyone else to do as good of and very similar a job/character to Johnny Depp. He's not needed. It's a big eh.
British Baby Shannon would have done a better job
than Johnny Depp.
So.
Because Shannon was British when she was a baby.
I was.
That's all true. That's canon.
Fact. Hashtag confirmed.
So before we go into Owl Post, we actually have a very, very exciting announcement for everybody. So up until this point, if you were looking for any kind of Speak Beastie content, you would go directly to MuggleNet.com, or you would go to MuggleNet. It was like .com/specialty site/speakbeastie/something else. But now we have actually made things a little bit easier. So while MuggleNet is still our home and still our host, you can actually find us at speakbeastie.com.
Woo.
Which is a really exciting sentence for me to say.
Yay.
And this extension of the MuggleNet website, which can be found at speakbeastie.com, is going to feature all of our episodes, as well as a new area that you guys are going to be seeing, where you can actually find more information about all of the beasts that we have covered. So you just go to the website, you click Newt Case, and you'll be able to get the profiles on all of the beasts that we've discussed in the Newt Case. We will have, hopefully, a forum coming soon, so keep your eyes open for more information about that. As well as a shop, which is going to be exciting. Whoa. So you know, it's really cool for us to kind of get a chance on our first anniversary / birthday to kind of share with you guys that we are still growing.
That's
doing other things.
That's awesome. I love that new case that's having all of that in one place is I know, super rad. Be nice. That's really cool.
Aaron's gonna be on there all the time.
I'll be all up in that new case, feeding animals and talking to them.
Yeah, well, we felt that, like, because, you know, a lot of times anybody who's, you know, been a longtime listener, you know that, like, usually when we get to the Newt Case segment, we're all kind of, like, typing in, like, oh, what's a moon calf look like? And we're sharing discussions of pictures. Well, this will now give you a place that those photos that we find of the different creatures we talk about, you'll be able to find them with sources. And, you know, information that we talk about from, like, our document, which has the details of them, you'll be able to get that there too. And this is just the beginning. Like, hopefully we'll have other things that we'll add to down the road, but that's going to be a thing. So you can find us on speakbeastie.com starting today.
And now a message from our sponsor.
Stop the presses! Speak Beastie is on Patreon.com. With options ranging from $1 to $5 per month, you can become a sponsor of Speak Beastie and help us to bring you more from Newt's fantastic wizarding world. But wait, there's more! Rewards include access to bloopers and extended conversations. You can also help us decide on a discussion topic for future episodes. We want to thank all of our sponsors for helping us reach our first goal. Check out patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more and become a sponsor today.
For Outpost, our first letter comes from Jake, who is actually in the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Right?
Yep. Common room. What?
Sorry, just had to double check.
Shout outs to Jake.
He says, what kind of Dumbledore will we be seeing in this next movie? Will he be the whimsical, quirky Dumbledore we see in Potter? Will he be a much more serious person as tension with Grindelwald builds? Also, I would love to hear you each cast somebody different for the role. I'd pick Ewan McGregor or Andrew Lincoln. You know what? I take that back. Now I actually want Hugh Jackman. And I have thoughts about this real quick, so let me just say them. All of your choices, Jake, are way too damn attractive. And I have issue with this. Not because I think Dumbledore shouldn't be attractive, but I think I've said this before. Look at Grindelwald in this movie. If Ewan McGregor or Andrew Lincoln is going after someone who looks like that, I will not believe it. I don't care how charming his personality is, because he's actually a douche. So, no. We need someone who's, like, a good level of attractiveness, but not hot. So, that's my two cents.
Well, see, this is one of the reasons that I also take issue with Johnny Depp. I mean, have you seen who they cast as young Grindelwald?
Right?
Damn! I mean,
life went downhill.
He did, like, not age well.
Yeah, Grindelwald. Not at all. So I could totally picture...
I mean, Voldemort didn't age well either.
Evilness? These hot guys need to stop being evil, because it just makes them very unattractive, and it's not a good look for them.
Well, literally. It's something that really bugged me about, like, the way in which they stylized Grindelwald. Like, I pictured him looking more like a human than Voldemort. Because, you know, he's established as this person that Dumbledore, like, trusts, and, you know, if you're reading all that gay subtext like I am, then you think that, you know, they were in love with each other. So, or Dumbledore was in love with him, at least.
Yeah.
So, for him to, like, just totally look mutated and weird, I'm like, no, I don't think that's the type of villain he would be. I think he'd be a more human-looking villain. But to answer the question of who could possibly play Dumbledore, I had not thought of any of those people that are listed at all.
Andrew Lincoln's way too busy right now.
I couldn't picture Andrew Lincoln growing up to be Michael Gambon or Richard Harris. Mm-hmm. But I could totally see Ewan McGregor, though, just because he's a very, like, exceptionally talented actor. But my favorite is probably, like, the really popular one that's going around right now, which is Jared Harris.
I was about to say, I'm totally on that train.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I just saw him, like, this right when everybody started talking about the possibility of him playing it, was when I was watching The Crown. And he's a really, really talented actor. So
I love him.
I would very much, like, to the ends of the earth enjoy him playing a character that was his dad.
I think the question on here, I think it's who would you cast somebody different for the role? I think it's for Grindelwald.
Also, I would love to hear you each cast somebody different from the role. Oh. I thought he was talking about Dumbledore, like, everybody pick who you'd cast. I don't know.
So if we're talking about Dumbledore, I would cast Jared Harris. If we're talking about Grindelwald,
literally anyone else.
I would cast Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Yup. I would agree.
Me too.
I would actually, like, explode if Ewan McGregor played Grindelwald. That would be amazing. Yeah, he's uber, uber talented, and I'm in love with him. So,
okay.
Ewan McGregor, 10 out of 10.
Since we have been dying to get this person in the film since the very beginning, I want Richard Ayoade for Dumbledore.
Yes.
I think it could work.
I would be so happy. But it would make so many people so angry, and I would delight in drinking their tears.
All that matters is we're happy, so.
I'm just like, they're trying to, you know, cast a spell or something, and Lute's like, Dumbledore, it's not working. And Dumbledore's like, have you tried turning off and on again?
Oh. Aaron, who would you cast?
For Grindelwald?
For anyone.
I really don't know. I have no idea. I saw someone posted Hugh Laurie as a possibility for Dumbledore. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, I don't know if I like it or dislike it, but that's kind of interesting. Very focused, potentially.
Yeah. Well, he's one of the only people in the entire continent of England who wasn't in the movies. So.
Exactly.
He might as well.
Colin Firth.
Oh, don't play those games with my heart, okay?
Colin Firth for Dumbledore. He'll be bumbling and awkward.
It'll be brilliant.
I think we need a super charismatic Dumbledore, like Nathan Fillion.
Stop. The headcanons I'm having right now are too much.
Are you telling me Richard Ayoade isn't charismatic?
No, I would never say that.
Sorry, Jake. I know you wanted serious answers.
You're not serious?
I was so serious. I've always been so serious.
Super serial.
Moving on.
So our next letter comes from Stephanie from the Common Room. She says, The next movie is set in France. When Newt leaves Tina, he says he's going back to the ministry. What happens to divert him over to France? Or are we going to see him go to the ministry and then be sent on a mission to France? How does he get there? And then in response to Stephanie's question, Marjolaine thinks, if Queenie and Jacob want to live together, I guess they will have to move from USA since nomad/witch couples are prohibited there. What if they decided to move to France? Jacob may still have contacts there since the war. Tina decided to go visit them and tells Newt to come for holidays in Paris. And I think that's adorable, and I want that to happen.
Yeah.
I think that
Can
makes
you
perfect
imagine
sense.
Him with a little French bakery? I would die.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a bakery, if you make pastries and stuff, I mean, France is Mecca, you know? So I would totally imagine him going there.
Yeah, some of his pastries looked, there's one
French.
In particular.
Like beasts? I think that was intentional.
Shut up! Gosh. No, just whatever. Whatever I was going to say. Ugh.
No, what were you going to say?
I don't know. I was going to say, there was one in particular, but I can't remember which one it was. It had like a croissant quality to it. I can't think of maybe the Niffler, was it? I don't know.
I think so. I think I know what you're thinking about.
There was because I'm remembering the demiguise, and it had the frosting kind of dripping from it to look like the fur. So it's
are you thinking of the irrelevant one? That kind of looked like a loaf of fancy bread.
Well, no, this one looked more fluffy. I realize I said that weird, but that's because I was like halfway through. I didn't know if that was the word I wanted to use.
Fluffy's a good word.
We can just totally omit everything I just said because it added zero to the conversation. That's already too long.
Well, I think that the next movie is going to pick up a year or two after the first one. Mm. So they've got time to get to France. I don't think we're going to see him go to the ministry.
I would like to, just to see what 20s... the ministry looked like in the 20s, but...
Well, you know, one thing I noticed, this is slightly related, slightly not, but it's an interesting point. When I was reading the script book in that sequence when...
The script book?
Yeah. The book version of the script. Because I don't want to just call it a book, because it's not really a book. It's a script book.
Just the script is what I would say. But... Continue.
I was reading the script, and there was this moment in when they have the sequence with the International Confederation of Wizards, and the minister says something. He's like, "Oh, minister," like, and that I don't know for you guys, that evokes for me like, "Oh, this is the Minister of Magic he's talking to," and then there's another guy who says something. If you read the script, the other guy who says something has a name, but the minister doesn't. He's just described as minister.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's kind of unique. Like, the one had a very specific name, and then he didn't. And I was like, okay. I was just kind of confused by that, but...
Yeah, and I mean, other places could have a minister, but...
Oh, you think that... So it may not have been, like, the Minister of Magic. He's just kind of calling him that because he knows him.
Yeah, maybe, but... If Newt knows any minister, he would know the English one.
That's true. But
it's probably set up so that, like, it could be the Minister of Magic, but, like...
if they decide they didn't like his performance, they can just redact that real quick.
Yeah. There's an election.
Yeah.
Because we love those.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had enough of those in 2016. But yeah,
only had one.
That was one too many.
The world. but yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see him go back to the ministry, but I don't know that we're going to get to experience that.
Yeah. So our last letter is from Shauna. And special shout out to Shauna for attending our panel at New York City Comic Con.
Woohoo! I remember seeing Shauna there.
Shauna says... So, I am really excited about a wand theory that I came up with recently. I believe that we can assume that at the time of Fantastic Beasts, Grindelwald already has the Elder Wand, as he stole it from Grigorovich when he was quite young. At the end of the movie, Graves drops his wand when Newt sends the swooping evil after him. Tina then grabs his wand using Accio. I would assume, based on the wand lore that JKR introduced in Deathly Hallows, that this would make Tina the master of Graves' wand. However, I believe that this would also make Tina the master of the Elder Wand. Harry became the master of the Elder Wand just by taking Draco's wand out of his hands, so we know that the Elder Wand's allegiance is a bit finicky. I realize that this theory might be a little bit far-fetched and detail-oriented, but Jo did write this script, and I don't think this is something she would just throw in there for the fun of it. I hope this does come to fruition later and that Tina ends up being the key to defeating Grindelwald in the end. My only thing is that he dropped it, so... She didn't overpower him to take the wand.
So the floor tile is the master of the Elder Wand, is what you're saying.
I mean,
the swooping evil is the master of the Elder Wand.
There you go. It's so like the wand ownership thing is so flimsy. It's so hard to tell. Yeah.
Well, and then it says he dropped it in the book, but it's so hard to tell in the movie.
Well,
yeah, because they don't really have a shot of it, like. There's not like a pronounced close-up of the wand falling to the ground or it coming out of his hand.
But it has to be something she's thought about because
it's just
that was such a big deal.
It's so convoluted, and the more she expands on this universe, the more I worry that she's gonna write herself into a corner of sorts.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are so detail oriented and they are gonna be like, oh, well, this doesn't match up. Like, there's gonna be plot holes, there's going to be inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. And I worry that we may be running into that the more we get into Fantastic Beasts. Like, it's going to be harder for her to tie things back into other things because people will be like, wait, that doesn't match up with what's said here. Even with Newt being expelled, like, that's different from what was written. Like, I think it's really tricky.
I do think that, like, it does make some sense that, that Grindelwald is not at this point the master of the Elder Wand, even if he has it. Because Dumbledore does beat him while he's using the Elder Wand, which you can't do. Like, the only...
But isn't that until... that's not until 1945, though.
Right, but he... But for...
But
according to the lore, like, you'll never lose with this wand. You'll never... This wand will always win unless you're not the master.
I always read that as being an exaggeration, though. That it's not literally unbeatable. People just thought it was unbeatable.
But the reason why Harry was able to stand up against Voldemort for so long was because of the reason why he beat him in the first place is because of the fact that, one, Voldemort was weakened because of the Horcruxes and stuff, but also because the wand never belonged to him. Like, if the wand actually belonged to Voldemort, it would have possibly been a different story.
Well, yeah, but that's also, he's just using, I mean, if he was using any other wand that didn't belong to him, it wouldn't work as well.
Right. Hmm. But, like, the Elder Wand specifically, so much has to do with its allegiance. Like, its allegiance is one of the keys to its power, so it would make sense that Dumbledore would be able to legit beat the Elder Wand, the most powerful wand in the world, because its allegiance was never to Grindelwald. But then the issue after that is, if he beats Grindelwald and Grindelwald isn't the master, then Dumbledore wouldn't become the master of the Elder Wand. It would be someone else's, and Dumbledore would have to be that person.
Unless for some reason it's nobody is the master at that point. Because we don't know how Grigorovich got it. Maybe someone just died and Grigorovich picked it up.
It's true.
And then nobody's the master. And maybe if you defeat the wand, you become the master. But maybe Tina is the master, and that would be awesome to...
I would be 900% here for that plot line. Just saying.
I don't know how it would come to fruition, but it would be great.
Jacob is the master of the Elder Wand.
Done.
Now that would be a plot twist.
Perfect.
Well, you know, his uncle's a house elf.
That's true.
You know, what if you can beat an unbeatable wand with an Obscurus on your side?
Oof, that's awfully dark. And fair, because that's, you know, going through dark stuff at that time, yeah.
That Obscurus, though.
So our main discussion today, guys, is we all took a listen to our first episode.
Aww.
And wanted to talk about what we got right, what we got wrong. So I would suggest to listeners that you go back and re-listen to the first episode.
It is
but if
gem.
You don't wanna, then okay.
Well, because it's kind of fun, though. Like, Speak Beastie came, I feel, at just the right time, because we had planned to record on December 15th of 2015. Like, that was, like, the date we determined, because we're like, oh, this will be the best day to record for all our schedules. And then at the beginning of that week, after already having determined it, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, the announcement trailer is going to come out on the 15th.
Yeah.
So, and that was like the first trailer that we got. So it was like,
phew, we didn't have to come up with a main discussion topic.
Exactly. It was just really cool how, like, the timelines have lined up.
Yeah.
So to kick this off, we thought it would be kind of fun, because as any of our listeners may know, we have certain really weird inside jokes that to any outsider who has not listened to the show would be very strange and interesting, as evident by the one time I wore my Speak BC shirt out in public and somebody said, what does putting the sass in Sasquatch have to do with anything?
It has to do with everything, man.
And I'm just like, you don't even know, son.
That's not even like that's an open enough reference. Like, you can look at that and go, oh, I get it. Because it's Sasquatch.
But
like,
no, apparently not to this person who I know.
Shame on them.
Yes. Dishonor on them, dishonor on their cow, dishonor on their whole family.
Shame.
But yeah, so we just thought each of the hosts, we would just share one of our favorite things, like a joke that we did not intend to become a recurring joke, but kind of did. So mine was the fact that we make a Hamilton reference mm-hmm. all the time. Hashtag HamilSquatch.
I like Shannon naming almost all of the episodes.
That I like that too.
And I like how at the beginning you had to tell us, stop saying that's a perfect episode title, because then it ruins it.
I did.
And we're like, but it's so good.
Well, we did do that in the first episode, because I think Shannon said it, and then we were just, we were all just like, oh, I think Shannon just named it for us, so.
But Shannon...
had some pretty interesting
episodes. I got my good one-liners.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was about to say. I was like, you're so quick with the one-liners. Like it, and that's what an episode title needs to be, is one-liner. So
it needs to give you no context. Like, a friendly game of quad pop.
I remember when I was so excited that I got to name, like, one episode. I was like, my time has come.
Well, so. I think you've named more than one at this point.
Oh, at this point, yeah, but, like, that first time, I was like, yes.
You never forget your first time naming a Speak Beast.
Yeah, because I definitely named, like, the first three.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. What's your favorite inside joke, Shannon?
Does Zootopia count? I think I brought that up, like,
to
three
Michael,
times,
it does.
But, yeah.
Shout out to my boy, Michael.
I have not still.
Oh, my gosh, Ariel.
Wow.
I'm a busy woman, I'm sorry.
It's on Netflix. Just do it.
I know, but
we'll have a Speak Beastie viewing party. We'll live stream it.
I mean, yeah. Basically,
they'll be like, "Why?
Can you believe all these beasts and they talk?
They're pretty fantastic." Hey,
Aaron, do you have a favorite joke?
I noticed listening to the first episode that we went back and hit Pokemon like six times. Like, we were
all really
about
did.
Pokemon.
We hit Pokemon a lot.
What was that? No, that's not when Pokemon Go came out.
Oh, no. We were before.
We were.
We predicted Pokemon Go. So.
Yeah.
Out of really all of the things that we needed to predict. One of them had nothing to do. Well, you know, they've got the Fantastic Beasts game now, the mobile game. So,
but it's totally not Pokemon Go.
I know, but I'm trying.
However, actually, the person whose question we asked on the show today, Jake, he has a really cool YouTube channel called Near Human Intelligence, and I'm pretty sure they did a video where it was like they basically made up a version of like Fantastic Beast Go, and it was
nice.
Really, it was really funny.
It's called Run Outside and Grab a Squirrel.
No, Shannon.
One of my favorite camp games.
Run Outside and Grab a Squirrel.
That sounds like something that
a
grumpy
classic.
Old grandpa would like yell at their grandchild when they're being annoying and they're trying to watch TV. And just be like, go outside and grab a squirrel. Get out of here.
Why don't you kids run outside and grab a squirrel like we did back in my day?
Trying to watch my stories. Go outside and grab a squirrel.
I mean, is that not what Pokemon Go is?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're just grabbing
the kids outside.
And that's exactly how Fantastic Beasts is, too, except instead of grabbing the squirrel, you gotta do, like, a whole dance first.
You gotta do mating dances for the squirrels.
Wow, what a turn this
Safer.
Has taken.
So, back to our very first episode. The first thing I noticed was that we talked really fast. When we were like introducing ourselves, we also said our full names like professionals or something.
Well, I mean, it was we did want you to know because it was the first time.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Don't. It's so like, funny listening to it. I was like, when I heard us do that, I was like, oh yeah, as if everybody out there is like, oh, what was that name? I'm gonna write it down right now. Like, how do you spell that? Like, well, like the first episode, it didn't matter.
First of all, they wouldn't be able to spell any of our names correctly.
No, so. None of our names.
Yeah,
I remember. We did that for a few episodes, and then one of the rotating hosts was like, why do we do that? And we were like, good point. Let's not.
Let's stop.
We all know each other now. We can go by first names.
Yeah. So, speaking of first names, I kept calling Tina Porpentina the whole first episode.
Oh, yeah. That was classic.
Oh,
Sometimes I forget that's her real name.
So yeah. Official.
I was Porpentina. And they're like, oh god, Ariel, no.
Speaking of, I noticed in the Felix Register when you talk about Eddie Redmayne, you were like, Redmayne said, like, really professional news person. Like, now we aren't just like, Eddie said this.
So, Eddie, our buddy.
I remember one time I accidentally called him Reddy. Just combined his first and last name. I was like, yeah, Reddy, that's not his name. So,
that was...
Yeah, we've clearly lost all professionalism in a year. I don't know if we ever really had it. We pretended the first episode.
Yeah.
Like we said, this is all an illusion. There is no Speak Beastie.
Just us talking about the characters, though. We were like, ooh, what's going to happen here? And when I called Mary Lou Newt's biggest antagonist, like, I knew something. Oh my gosh. What?
Yeah, they didn't even interact at all.
No.
Yeah, and like with Graves, we were just like, all we know is that he's an American Auror. And
I know,
literally, right? We just moved on. Like, that was the only statement said about Graves, and now we have like two whole episodes about him.
That guy.
So he kind of... And then Credence, I was all just like, oh my gosh, who's Credence? Like, what's his story?
Well, we almost talked more about Modesty, because we were like, yeah, she's going to be important.
Yeah, we were really obsessed Credence with Modesty, and she's just not even, like, part of it at all. She's, like, half of a red herring.
She's a red herring, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because, like, there was so much about, like, her casting process that was public. And it was so reminiscent of when Ivana Lynch was cast as Luna, because, you know, she found it from MuggleNet. But it was one of those things where, like, because we familiarized, like, the casting process, we assumed her part was going to be as significant as Luna's. Yeah. And it just wasn't.
I remember commenting on Ezra Miller as an actor, though, and saying, like, not really predicting anything, but saying, like, he's kind of known for playing these enigmatic characters, and like that casting decision, I felt like, you know, it was very purposeful, and I didn't, like, obviously we never could have known from the first episode and that first trailer where you don't get, like, anything really, we could have never known what Credence, like, the importance or anything. I'm losing words, sorry. But
the importance of being Credence. Just named another episode.
There you go.
Yeah. Damn. Inside jokes.
Way to go.
Well, because even watching,
like I said, this whole thing in the first episode where I was just like, I just want Newt and Credence to run off on Beastie Adventures.
Yes. Which,
like, they didn't really interact, but I don't know how much time y'all have spent on Tumblr.
Nope.
You know I spend all my time on Tumblr, Elena.
Well, I know you do, but apparently there is a very big following of Newt and Credence shippers already.
Good.
So, accidentally called that, I guess?
Do they know how the story ends? Right now. Oh boy.
I'm looking it up right now.
I mean, there's so much fan art. It's all really cute, actually. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know where you got this, but okay.
The more of that there is, the less Credence Grave shippers there are. So, like,
There's one
and
of
we don't like,
like
to ship shame anybody, but guys, look at your priorities.
There's one of like Credence and like Newt is hugging him and he put like his Hufflepuff scarf like around
Credence.
Yeah, it's all really cute.
Oh, these are adorable. Stop it. That's wrong.
I don't ship it.
You're overthinking
it.
Like,
I want them to have adventures and be friends.
Well, Shannon, one thing that's not in the doc, but I just thought of and that hasn't been brought up yet, you didn't get Newt's tea kettle.
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
Moment of silence for Newt's tea kettle.
And the leather fold, apparently.
You know what? That's a very different topic.
I'm just saying, we were so concerned about the leather fold.
Well, because it was on a list of beasts that were going to be in the movie.
I wanted that leather fold. I kept on, like, while I was watching it the first time, I was like, all right, any minute now, we're going to, like, see something crazy. It's going to jump out. And then when we first see the Obscurus, I was like, is that possibly? And he's like, that's an Obscurus. And I was like, what? But then what about the leather fold? Come on. I want to see someone just get erased. What happened?
Yeah.
I feel like they made some changes. Like, we know they made some changes because when you look at, you know, the companion books and everything that people have been talking about, like with Jacob being engaged and whatnot, like, I don't know. There's just so many things that don't add up from, things we've talked about on the show even, and I don't know, like,
go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, with the leather fold, what happened? we were told it was going to be one of the characters one of the creatures in the films, and it just never happened.
Yeah, well, we've had several people who've tweeted us about this and, like, shared this with us. But there is also this element of, like, in terms of things developing, the fact that if you look at the original Fantastic Beasts book, and I'm not talking about, like, the script that came out, I'm talking about the actual book itself. Spoiler! But it says that it was published by Obscurus Books.
Yeah.
And so I have to wonder, like, I know it was on purpose that it's called that, but, like, was that J.K. Rowling's just, like, looking back through her copy of Fantastic Beasts being like, oh, I need something, oh, I'll call it Obscurus. Or was it, like, maybe the Leatherfold will become an Obscurus? Or, like, did she have that inherently in there and know what an Obscurus was the whole time?
That is kind of crazy. That's like naming a publishing company after, like, some other, like, degenerative disease, you know? Like, that's kind of a really negative name. Obscurus is not a positive thing in the wizarding community. It's, like, really sad.
You think if he was trying to honor, because we don't know where this storyline is, we have kind of an idea, it might come back to Ariana, because it's coming back to Dumbledore and Grindelwald, but you think if he was trying to honor maybe even just Credence in some way, he would have...
Oh, my emotions aren't ready for that.
Well, but, like, the book was published in 1927, and it's someone else commissioned Newt to write it. And it's phrased as, like, blah, blah, blah from Obscurus Books.
Augustus Worm, I think, is the name of the person.
Yeah, so... I mean, he's still, his publishing company could not have actually, like, existed yet when he commissioned Newt.
Well, when you think about it, he does mention, you know, that, like, he found an Obscurus in Sudan and there was that whole thing.
Yeah.
What if, like, Augustus Worm, like, commissioned him and funded this book because he was trying to learn more about an Obscurus?
Maybe. If Augustus Worm has, like, a middle name that has an L in it or something, and then you mix around the letters in the name, and it's I am Grindelwald.
Bye.
I think that's the best theory we've come up with in an entire year, and I'm just
hold on, I'm gonna write the letters out.
Oh, come on.
I put as little effort into that as possible, though, so I don't know. I don't think the letters match up. But there's a G and a W.
That's all we need.
Let it happen, Aaron. Just let it happen.
This is where we need some like 80s rock montage music for like studying and trying to figure it out.
It's like that meme where like someone is just like looking confused and there's a bunch of math equations in front of their face.
I remember how excited I was for the Niffler, and having seen the movie, that has not lessened at all. So I'm very pleased. I even said, I think that's going to be an interesting relationship. This Niffler sounds like he's gonna wreak havoc, and I'm stoked.
Yep,
and he did.
You nailed it.
He took
havoc is
it.
What he wreaked.
I love though how I was just like, I want the Niffler to be named Gatsby. Pastries.
Sorry, that never happened.
Yeah, no, Pastries is confirmed as far as I'm concerned.
Like, yeah.
If they did not name that Niffler, then by God, we did. So I'm just, if they try to like change that in the second movie and they're like, oh, now his name is Francis, I'm going to be like, nope, not permissible.
Ooh, we got to talk about what I just highlighted.
What did you highlight?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was
like Aaron's one.
Yes, I wrote that down.
Yeah, I got that was the one that I was supposed to put in there, but I didn't.
Okay, I got you.
you got my back. Yeah, when we were looking at the image of Graves standing in the building that was destroyed, and we were all talking about what kind of beast could have possibly done it, and I was like, maybe it wasn't a beast, maybe it was some other kind of magical something, because there are all kinds of, you know, spells and things that can cause that. So I don't think that it necessarily has to be a beast that destroyed the building. And ta-da! It wasn't. It was magical constipation.
You know poo.
Wow.
Well, I mean, can I also just say, though, like, Aaron called up and just, like, the podcast in general called a pretty ridiculous amount of like beasts and other things that we were going to see in this movie before we knew about it. Because I think episode 2, you picked the Thunderbird, and that was before any Ilvermorny stuff had been released.
Yeah, we didn't
at
even
all.
Know Ilvermorny was Ilvermorny.
Yeah.
It was like right before that, and then not even like a month later, it was like, oh yeah, by the way, Thunderbird. And I just was like, I was the meme with the equations in front of my face being like, Joe, are you listening?
Because we didn't even know until the January celebration, because I remember finding out about Ilvermorny while I was in Florida.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, such news.
And then
news.
Not long after that was when they, you know, somebody leaked the schoolhouses, and then it was confirmed at a later time. So we had a whole couple episodes where we just speculated about the houses, even with the rumored information, until it got confirmed.
And then there was the stuff of the whole story of Ilvermorny on Pottermore, and we called like Hodags and
Hidebehinds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hodags and Hidebehinds.
And then there was
sounds like a band.
It sounds good.
Wizard rock band.
We are the Hodags and Hidebehinds.
Wait. Didn't we call Whiz Jazz as well, or was that already a thing?
No, we called Whiz Jazz. I think it was Megan was the one who picked Moon Calves. Oh my goodness,
yes.
Bless you, Megan, because they were just my fave, and I need 46 plushies of them.
So basically, the Newt case was incredibly successful, but everything I ever talked about in Time Turner didn't matter.
You know what? The Phoenix Register was highly successful as well.
This is the sound of me getting up and quitting.
It predicted 100% of the movie.
I mean, you've come up with so many cool theories, though, of like, I was kind of disappointed when I came out from the movie, and I was like, none of our, like, historical tie-ins, like, actually played into this one. So I'm hoping that happens in, like, one of the future movies, because it's such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But like, I called it took Mammoth place cave. In winter. So.
What?
Yeah, like the cave with the dragons, like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, that was, I was kind of bummed out as well when you're like, oh, it was a national park, and I was like, oh, that's prime time. That's prime time. Let's do it. and it wasn't in the movie. Like, would have been perfect. Throw some
dragons in there. Well, like, I talked about Agatha Christie in the first episode, and then I dedicated another time turner to her. And she, like, in the timeline of the movie, Agatha Christie is missing. Like,
yeah.
Someone go help her. So she
totally could have been on that adventure.
Yeah. Or it makes sense. She wasn't in the movie because she was missing.
She could have been any one of the millions of people in New York who was obliviated.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Just any number of them. She was just there, and she got caught in the rain, but no.
You know what? That's actually, I'm taking that as my headcanon. Agatha Christie was on a trip to New York. She got obliviated, got home, and was like, wait, what?
Cool.
How did I get here?
You know, we talked a lot about the Just a Smidge scene, because that was like the only scene.
Yeah.
But it was just funny because we talked a lot about, like, this dour, sad room. Why is Loot in there? Maybe it's a hotel room. It's so empty, and it's literally where Jacob lives.
Yeah, it was someone's home. I feel so guilty about it.
And we were talking about
I was the first one to say that.
But we were talking about the book that's on the side table, like, it must mean something.
Yeah, I was so interested in this book. But Elena, you said it looks like a cookbook, but that's probably what it is.
Oh, wow.
Because it's Jacob's apartment.
That's true.
So I was wrong, but everyone else was right.
Like, I know the whole thing with Credence was upsetting, and I know that, you know, the whole scene with the umbrella was also sad. But can I just say, for me personally, the saddest moment of that entire movie is when he goes, sorry, Grandma. Devastating.
That was cute.
And you know, we had no idea that Jacob was in the room when that discussion was happening.
Yeah.
Nope, he's out of frame being, eaten by a mert lab.
He is in the corner with a bite on his neck, sweating buckets, feeling awful, so confused about what's going on, and we're just shitting on his apartment.
We also talked about the scene where Newt is in the street and he casts that spell while you hear Mr. Scamander, who I was convinced was Mary Lou, but is definitely Tina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. But you know what's funny? It's actually so, like, not prominent that it's her, like, because that's what she screams as she's coming up the stairs. So, like, in the trailer, they made the sound really loud, like it was some huge moment of the movie. But then in the actual movie, you just kind of distantly hear it as he's, like, you know, putting a building back together.
Yeah.
Her trailer.
But we talked a lot about that scene because it was like he's casting a spell in front of a nomad on a public street. And Ariel, like, you were saying, something absolutely life-threatening must be happening. And that he doesn't seem like a reckless character. He's not going to just throw spells around. And I'm like, that's literally what he does for the whole first 15 minutes of the movie. And they're just trying to catch a Niffler in that scene.
Yeah, I was about to say, in that scene, it is particularly reckless because they break into a jewelry store and he's like hopping on.
That way, officer.
Yeah. He's just like jumping on top of a cabinet and then like swinging from the chandelier and breaking the glass. And it's
He has no subtlety at all.
No.
That's just like wizard privilege of being able to fix everything you break.
Yeah.
Like, someone is going to have to put this back together.
But yeah, Newt Scamander does not care about casting spells in front of nomadges in public.
Nope.
Newt Scamander, I think we've said this before, has no chill.
Yeah.
None. None at all. Not a single drop. Yeah, but I mean, you did, Shannon. You were just like, I just hope he's cute and awkward and, well,
yep.
You're welcome. I was right.
You got it.
I did. He's a nerd, and I called that it was winter, so.
You did. That you did, too.
Yeah. You did it, Shannon.
And then Ariel, you had said that you thought he was going to take like great care of the character.
I was about to say that, Elena. Damn it.
That's why I'm bringing it up for you.
But you're saying the whole thing. What do I have left to say that I was right?
Yeah.
I'm just not good at words anymore.
I'm hangry. I'm hangry. It's just tacos on my mind. And there's cupcakes downstairs, so that's also very exciting. Sorry. Why?
Ariel, go ahead. Igor, cut that bit. Ariel, no. Enjoy your moment. Go ahead.
I think that was the first time. No, it probably wasn't the first time, but I remember specifically when I said, I think he's going to do a fantastic job. And we were like, oh, fantastic. Wow, finger guns. Oh, puns. Yeah. And we were like, oh, every time we say fantastic, we mean it. And I think I've used that word so many times. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, the movie. Like, I don't think about it actively anymore. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's Fantastic Beasts. But, like, fantastic is a word. It just... it comes to mind when you describe so many things about this movie.
Like, yeah, it just, it really, like, it lives yeah. up to the name very much. Yeah. It's fantastic, there are beasts, and we find them. I mean, it just, you get every single point on there.
Yes.
Firing on all cylinders.
It really did. She titled that movie well.
She titled that movie like she was that one character in Guardians of the Galaxy who's just on the nose with everything.
Wait. I've not seen Suicide Squad, but I've seen the trailer where Will Smith is like, so is this some kind of Suicide Squad or something? And Steven and I, oh, shit, I brought up Steven. There goes my personal life. When Will Smith says that, a lot of times I'll insert that into other movies, and I'm like, so you're telling me there's some sort of Fantastic Beasts, and this is where we'll find them? Like, I don't know. That's what that made me think of. Like, Will Smith, if Will Smith could do that for every single movie ever created, that would be great.
Will Smith for Dumbledore, I mean, come on.
Oh, okay.
I'm for it.
Yeah. It sounds great.
I'm glad that we're unanimous on this point.
The buffest Dumbledore.
Oh, yeah.
And Dwayne the Rock Johnson will be replacing as Grindelwald.
That's oh, great.
My gosh. I'm ready.
I love Rock the Dwayne Johnson.
They don't actually have, like, a spell battle. They just literally fist fight.
Yeah.
And he tears the Elder Wand from the Rock's hand.
They do, like, a pull-up competition.
Yes.
They're just, like, doing back-to-back pull-ups.
Oh gosh.
Great mental images occurring right now. Just all
what a, and they're in what like film. Robes. Will Smith has a beard.
I also want them to be wearing the hats they wear at Hogwarts in the first movie.
Yeah.
That they just completely abandoned.
Yeah.
No,
I love them.
They're not real. Just
yes, they are. Shut up. Shut up and get out of here.
They're canon.
I'll just fire myself, why don't I?
Okay, cool.
It's called quitting.
You haven't yet, so. We haven't fired a lot of people, so I think we need to get around to it.
We've fired everyone at some point.
Have we? I don't think Michael's been fired.
No, I don't think
Michael, you're fired.
I've been fired like 6 times.
Actually, I redact my Hamel Squatch. I think my favorite inside joke is the fact that we're always saying everyone's fired. It's just every episode. If someone's not on it, they're fired.
That's,
but not really.
Yeah. That's especially painful now, though.
Yeah.
But we love you, Aaron.
Oh, no, I was making a Trump reference.
Oh.
That too.
Edit both of those out. No. Oh. No, we don't talk about these things.
Yeah, we don't talk about the rise of the Dark Lord Cheeto on this show.
I'm still hungry, man. Talk about Cheetos in front of me.
So we joked about there being a musical number because Alison Sudol sings and Eddie Redmayne sings. And now we know that Alison Sudol did sing.
And she wrote the school song.
And
she helped write the song.
So we totally predicted that. They just didn't keep it in the movie because they wanted to not have us predict everything.
Oh, and speaking of songs, this was a point I had earlier that I forgot to bring up. I'm still waiting, everyone, for my Age of Aquarius remix of Age of the Hufflepuffs. So, somebody get on that. Maybe by the time movie 5 drops, we'll have that.
That's a few years, so.
I know, I'm giving them time.
Just a smidge.
By the way, there are not enough letters crossed over from Augustus Worm to Gellert Grindelwald to
I'm really glad that you did the time and research for that. Yeah. It makes me very proud.
I figured it out like 10 minutes ago, but...
He's got a really long, crazy middle name.
Yeah.
With all
his middle name's got to have 3 L's in it.
Yeah.
4 L's, sorry.
Lula.
That sounds great.
Because the L's do not make my name is... Or I am, so.
So his middle name is like Malam.
Yeah.
Yep.
Llewellyn.
Llewellyn.
No, because it needs an R too.
Llewellyn. Okay, this is enough. Enough is enough.
Something else that we talked about a lot that wasn't in the movie, Lumos Maxima.
Oh, yeah.
Good
thing.
You know what? It wasn't until you said that that I just realized he doesn't say that in the movie.
Mm-mm.
I think... Oh, I don't know who it was who brought it up, so I'm not even going to try to guess at this point. But someone did mention how the movie had... all the spells were from the Harry Potter books. They weren't from the movies. They were specifically from the books. So, yeah, now that we know that he didn't even use Lumos Maxima, which was movie canon, that's kind of confusing.
Well, it makes me feel better.
Can't wait for three episodes about canon.
Yeah.
That was your very first reaction. Like, we were like, so, what do you think of Fantastic Beasts, Aaron? And you're like, well, Lumos Maxima.
I know. I went on a big angry tangent about Lumos Maxima, and it wasn't in
rightfully
there, and
so.
I am satisfied.
Yeah. They heard you. And they were like, shit, we gotta take that out.
Can you believe this guy? He really doesn't like Lumos Maxima. We better not put it in there.
Well, you know what's funny? Like, both that and the whole I want to be a wizard scene go to show, like, what's used for marketing materials and for, like, easy marketability and what actually makes the cut of the movie. Because, like, you know, I want to be a wizard wasn't even in the final cut, but it was on the t-shirts before the movie even existed. And, like, you know, Lumos Maxima, not only was that, like, in the beginning of the early trailers, but when I went to, like, the panel at San Diego Comic-Con, that was the whole, like, that was a whole big thing where, like, Eddie Redmayne was trying to cast Lumos Maxima, and that's why they gave out wands to everyone. So it's like they used that heavily in their marketing plan, but didn't even include it in the movie because they knew we have to use this thing that's traceable to the movies and not the books because that's what will hook people, even if it's not part of the plot.
Yeah, because they couldn't use Revelio because it would have been too obvious. Yeah.
People were like, what are we revealing?
We're going to reveal that this guy is actually some other guy, and their haircuts are the same, but their hair's different color, and also a mustache. That's
and
it.
Also
terrible hair.
And also, I'm just realizing this, too, because I remember when they were releasing, like, some of those, like, postcard and poster books and stuff, there was specific art with, like, Revelio and Obliviate, and we're like, why are those spells so important?
Yeah. Mm.
Oh. Oh. Light bulb.
That was a great way to say light bulb. Just throwing that out there.
So now that we, because we were very concerned about Hedwig's theme and John Williams and all of that. So now
I was
that
not
we
concerned.
Know,
everyone else was concerned.
Oh, hush. You get out of here with your lies.
Gosh, Shannon, you're fired.
Bye.
Yeah, so the music, like, we talked about how, like, we didn't want it to be the same theme as Harry Potter. And I was like, a big person who was like, I don't want it to be the same. And I'm really glad it wasn't. I thought all of the uses of the music were just really great. And this was one that I don't think we talked about on a recent episode yet, but I noticed it on, I think it was round four of seeing the movie is when I first noticed it. Because we talked about how the only time that you really hear Hedwig's theme is like that kind of that moment on the stairs where the alchemy is like hatching.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You also very subtly hear it when they're in the zoo. But if you look at the moment where, like, the Hedwig's theme is, like, subtly playing, it's the part where they're in the wrecked reptile area. And I was like, oh my god, they did that throwback. Good. Yeah, so it was just, I noticed that and I was like, this is really
And stairs. Slick. Because he lived under the stairs.
Whoa.
I don't know.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's legit.
Yeah, sure.
I was trying. I don't know.
Well, that was, that's legit. Yeah.
Good it's moment. Not the only time they were on stairs, though, so that's why I was like,
Well, even
but it was the most emotional time.
Yeah.
And on a deeper level, when you think about it, too, like, that, it played when he's, like, he's just teleported and he's just, apparated. And he's just seen an alchemy, so it's like the first time you hear any kind of Hedwig's theme is when someone is experiencing magic for the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That just gave me feels.
Yeah, I liked that it wasn't heavy, it wasn't the theme, but it was subtle nods back to Harry Potter, which that's I'm fine with that. I just didn't want it to be like, hey everybody, remember how this is Harry Potter? Like
yeah.
So
yeah.
But the opening, I know we talked a lot about in the first episode about like how in book three it started with like us talking about Lumos Maxima and how like the Warner Brothers logo comes out and everything. And I loved the nostalgia in this one of the Warner Brothers logo coming out of the clouds and also the music underneath that is rad. I was like, all right, oh, this is, I can jam to this. This is great. We're going on an adventure. This is great.
True story. So that song was like the first song from the soundtrack that dropped, and it came out one of the days that we were at New York Comic Con, like right before our panel. And so me, I think it was Lizzie, and maybe Steph, who's like another MuggleNet staffer, we were like all in the room, and I was like, okay, I was like, go ahead, play it. Like, I had to emotionally prepare myself. I'm not even joking. I almost fell to the floor with tears. I was just so excited. I don't know why. I think it was just like the excitement of hearing that it was sort of like Potter, but yet this whole new thing. And right before the Speak Beastie panel, and I knocked something over, but it's okay. Everything was beautiful.
Man, my first time listening to any of the music was during the panel.
You got the real raw Ariel there.
I did, because everyone was talking about listening to it before and the titles and everything. I was like, man, I don't even know any of this. So yeah, I got emotional during the panel, but not like emotional. You know what I mean? Like you said, it was very in the moment.
I felt very emotional during 90% of the panel.
I was,
'cause it was just really cool.
I was surprisingly okay.
Yeah, it was a really cool moment, I think, for the fact that, you know, before we even hit our first year anniversary, we were getting really cool opportunities like that. So
yeah. So Shannon is very disappointed about something that she would like to address.
Well, just that there weren't a lot of cool historical tie-ins. I mean, I kind of talked about this. There just like wasn't anything.
I think they had an opportunity during, I guess you could call it the beginning credits of sorts, with the newspapers. I know they go by so quickly, but even just the smallest bit of historical tie-ins for each newspaper would have been cool. Because it was very focused on the Wizarding World, obviously. And I know it's supposed to, because it's an introduction for people who are the more casual fan, and you know, like we say this so many times, haven't been discussing it for the past year in depth, so it was for them, but also not really, because it went by so quickly. And I still haven't even gotten a chance to look at, you know, someone has the screenshots of each of the newspapers and everything, but they definitely had an opportunity to tie in more historical actual historical moments, and they just didn't, which I agree, that's a bit disappointing, especially with the time turner, because there were so many great things they could have done.
Like, I didn't watch the movie and feel like, oh, they're missing so many opportunities, but I think there would have been just a couple mentions of things would have been a cool grounding in the time period.
Yeah. And we did talk about the year 1926 specifically, and I said how, you know, Joe wouldn't just pick it out of a hat. It was very purposeful. And we didn't even know. At first, we just thought, oh, well, it's the year before his book gets published. It's probably because he still has more places to go. Like, we had no idea it was going to span so many years and that it was going to involve so many other characters within the Harry Potter books themselves. Like, we thought, like, oh yeah, Dumbledore, that's a nice little tie-in, but it ended up being, I don't want to say it's consuming the movies at this point, but with the way things are playing out and how it's been described that it's going to end around 1945, I'm like, well, we know where this is headed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about something spanning that long. It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
We didn't have any idea that it was going to be a Grindelwald story because we were very focused on, like, oh, this is going to be Newt's thing. We're going to learn so much about America and
it's going to be about beasts.
And beasts. And yeah, exactly. And there were a lot of beasts and you know, Newt is amazing, but it's so much of this is like Newt is kind of a foil for the real story, which is Grindelwald. Like, and this was like a prologue for what I'm assuming is going to be just mostly Grindelwald story later. And I'm hoping that's not the case because...
the case. Sorry.
But yeah.
Fantastic.
Whoa. We've gone a level deeper. Inception noise.
And for our final point, let it be known that I was not the first to bring up Sasquatch.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was Shannon. No.
Your whole life as a Speak Beastie listener is a lie.
I am unashamed.
Shannon started the fire.
And yet Sasquatch is Ariel's mascot along with mermaids.
Because my mascot is the augury.
Yes.
Yes.
You're going to get your
augury. How do you feel about that, Shannon?
About the augury? Just
about
in general?
About the lack of it in
about the movies. Well, I'm very disappointed that the augury got mentioned in freaking Cursed Child. Not even as what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not
Are you referring to a play that didn't happen?
Fantastic Beasts. Yeah, I'm referring to this little thing. You may have heard of it. It's a play.
I definitely haven't.
About Harry Potter. It's called a Harry Potter musical.
But that is great. That's amazing.
Well, the medallion says that's stupid, so we're not going to do that.
That is a boss Zephron poster.
Yes.
In the common room, the Speak Beastie common room, when people were having like a very heated debate about Revelio and the Grindelwald reveal and all of that. Oh, I can't remember who commented, and I'm a horrible person for this, but they were really up in arms about it, and I just commented back, you mean to, or, I can't believe the counter curse was just un-jellify.
I remember that now.
Yeah. Because they were like, how is it you use Revelio to, because they were trying, I don't know, I guess they were trying to figure out which spell Grindelwald used to become Graves. Like, was it Polyjuice Potion? It was this whole debate, and that was all I could say on the matter. Harry Potter musical, so relevant.
Legit.
Oh my gosh, guys, we're opening the Newt case with Aaron for the first time
in
quite some time.
Open that thing.
# throwback Sunday.
Good times. So in today's Newt case, we have the Tarrasque. We decided that we were going to go French since the next movie is going to go to Paris. So, the Tarrasque is a legendary French dragon. This is, the like Tarasque, not the Tarrasque from Dungeons and Dragons lore, which is like Magic Godzilla. Yeah, it's a whole different deal.
I was so confused.
I was really looking forward to Magic Godzilla.
That thing is, I mean, look that up too, because that's really scary. That like, you can't kill it at all, period. You have to wish it away. Anyway, I'm going to go on a D&D rant later.
Bonus content.
Bonus content and tell you the history of Dungeons and Dragons. So the Tarrasque, French dragon, native to the city of Tarascon, and it's a central part of Tarascon's culture for 2,000 years. It's in a lot of different works, most famously and thoroughly in The Golden Legend by Jacobus Vortigern. in 1255. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but you know, you're not going to look it up, so it's fine.
You're usually not.
Yeah.
But they might on speakbc.com.
Oh, that's right. Oh man, whoa. I'm not going to be able to cover my tracks now. It's like the whole forum's just going to be like, "Can you believe how terribly Aaron pronounced this?" So it is it's described as a dragon that is thicker than an ox and longer than a horse, but with six stubby bear legs, and it has the body of an ox and a grumpy face of a lion. It's always depicted like legit like grumpy cat. Like it's just an angry, aww, like frustrated looking thing. It also has a large spiked turtle shell and a scorpion tail. So it's pretty menacing overall.
So it's like pretty all over the place.
Fruit, yeah, it's
like the fruit salad of creatures. Exactly. Like it's got a little bit of everything.
it's a fruit salad. It's often this described as being like everything. An amphibian and a fish and a mammal and all of the above. And it's
wait, that's everything. I think that's it. That's all you can be.
Yeah, pretty much. It's got cold and warm and lukewarm blood, and it's the chimera-est kind of creature. But the legend goes that Saint Martha, along with Mary Magdalene, Lazarus, a bunch of other saints, bishops, all kinds of holy general people, landed in Marseille in 48 AD. And Martha, St. Martha, went up the Rhone River, and she came to the city of Tarascon, where this monster was terrorizing people. And, like, knights and kings apparently had tried to kill it, but it just was unkillable. It always won. And so she, to help the people, went and found the beast, and she charmed it, and... most of the stories don't really say how she charmed it, but whatever it was super into her, and she never fought
it.
She
offered it tea.
Exactly. She taught it how to love. And, and so she brought it back to, the villagers of Tarascon to be like, here, look, it's peaceful now. I've charmed it. And the villagers then fell upon it and tore it apart and killed it, because it was charmed. And it didn't feel like it needed to defend itself, so it didn't, and then it died. So the town felt really, really guilty about it. So now the Tarasque is the symbol of Tarascon, and there are all these festivals, annual festivals, that feature the Tarascon. There are feature the Tarasque, and there are tons of really cool statues of the Tarasque, and it's on the town's coat of arms. So it's very much a part of the culture. Because they just feel real guilty about killing it, so yeah, it's very Beauty and the Beast.
I was just gonna say, I'm not sure if you're reading like a description of the Tarasque or if you're quoting the beat of quoting the plot.
He does have a grumpy lion face and the
and the it body takes of an place ox. In France, and someone charms it, and its defenses are down, and the village people attack it.
You that's think maybe that's what it's based on?
You heard it here, folks.
There it is. He's up. He's got things.
Emma Watson is actually playing St. Martha.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Connections.
So yeah, that's going to be the crossover is they'll go to France, and then they'll like he'll have to catch the beast.
The beast and all beasts.
And they'll sing, and Allison Sudol will sing about it. Boom. Done deal.
Perfect.
Perfect.
I mean, clearly, all of the talking furniture is, you know, that's witchcraft. That's all right there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Most definitely.
And Emma Watson is Belle.
And Brenda Wald is Gaston.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tied up in a neat little bow. Just like this
episode.
It's
done deal. We know the plot of the second movie. Done.
Yep.
Except for that whole Leto Lestrange thing. But that's another episode.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah. Okay, that is it for today's episode. Our podcast question this week is, what was your favorite prediction from Speak Beastie from the past year? right or wrong, from any episode, what did we say that you liked? Send us your fantastic... What?
Or thought was crazy.
Yeah. You're like, that was so dumb. I can't believe they said that. So glad that didn't make it into the movie. So, yeah, send us all your fantastic theories, comments, questions, anything. We'd love to hear from you. So drop us an owl on any of our social media accounts or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com.
And cake. And don't thank forget the you. Cake.
Don't forget the cake.
Don't
yeah.
forget the cake. Send us that good cake.
To our email.
Hashtag cakes for Igor.
It's important. And thank you, Aaron and Elena, for joining us today.
Yay.
No problem. It's so nice. It was nice to have you back for...
Like talking with you guys, hanging out, talking about Fantastic Beasts. Sorry, I had like a Linda Belcher
moment. What's that, our new theme song?
Yes. Remix.
K-pop that.
Gosh. I've been watching a lot of Bob's Burgers, so I'm kind of just singing everything I say.
Are you... Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So we just want to take a moment to thank everybody who has supported us so far on Patreon. If you guys want to join us in our common room that we have, you should definitely check out the different levels that you can subscribe at. And it's at patreon.com/speakbeastie. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at speakbeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/speakbeastie, and Tumblr at speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Elena.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shannon.
Case closed.
Going to bed before either of you come up with another clever idea to get us killed. Or worse, expelled.